My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now.
So, basically, acronym, God, G-O-D, so the existence of good and evil, the origin of the universe, and the design of the universe, make a cumulative case for the existence of God. Through the diversity certainty ratio, we can be sure that these diverse lines of evidence point to the existence of God being reasonable.
If I gave you, we'll say, 10 mediocre reasons to believe that I'm 10 feet tall, would that make me 10 feet tall?
What does that have to do with my argument?
Well, you'll understand here in a second, right? So if I gave you 10 mediocre arguments that I'm 10 feet tall, is it likely that I'm 10 feet tall?
Well, I haven't given you the arguments yet.
I never said you did. Just answer the question. You'll figure out where we're going here. You're trying to get ahead of it.
No.
Okay.
I mean,
so
the answer is obviously no.
All right. Okay. So multiple mediocre arguments aren't actually as strong as like one good argument, is it?
Yeah, but you can't just rely on one argument.
I agree. I think you need more arguments.
I wouldn't do that.
So the reason why I'm raising that is because it sounds like what you're about to do is present a litany of mediocre arguments and saying, well, if you stack them all together, they make one good, strong argument, but it's not really how that works.
Well, how about I present to you the arguments in premise form?
Yeah. Another problem with that mathematically is you have to multiply the probabilities of all those arguments, and the odds of all of them being true actually decrease quite dramatically as you do that. So, yeah, no. Anyways, go ahead.
So, are you ready for the arguments?
Well, start with your most, we'll say, compelling argument, and we'll talk about them one at a time.
All right. The origin of the universe. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist. Therefore, the universe has a cause.
What's the evidence that the universe began to exist?
We don't know that, and special pleading.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got multiple lines of evidence that point to the existence, to the beginning of the universe, right?
Like
so
what?
We're looking at quantitative evidence from the abundance of helium, looking at thermal evidence from the second law of thermodynamics.
Are you reading from a ChatGPT script?
From astronomical damage. No, I'm reading from my notes.
Okay. Do you know what any of these words mean?
Of course I do.
Okay, the abundance of helium in the universe requires that it once didn't exist. How?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Well, you're saying that the abundance of helium in the universe requires that it had a beginning. It once didn't exist. I'm trying to figure out how you made that connection.
Well, no, it's the amount of helium that is in the universe points to the fact that it needed to have come from a certain conditions in the universe.
You definitely need to amend your notes because the word you should have there is hydrogen. I didn't catch that right away. I didn't notice it till just now. But why would the abundance of hydrogen? Yeah, why would it point to? At one point, it's consistent with Big Bang cosmology, but to claim that at one point,
helium,
the second element on the periodic table.
Yeah, so Fred Hoyle did a study where he insisted that stationary, infinitely old, unchanging universe. But then he studied the way that elements are created within the stars, and he was able to calculate the amount of helium.
So what
that would come from the. The amount of healing that would be in the universe if it came from nothing.
Well, no, Fred Hoyle did not, to my knowledge. I can fact check myself on that, or somebody else can hear in a little bit. But Fred Hoyle believed in this thing called steady state theory, which did not posit a universe that at one point did not exist and then began existing. he rejected the Big Bang. I don't know exactly what his scientific gripe with the Big Bang was, but the Big Bang model accurately predicts the distribution and composition of matter in our universe very well, actually.
Yeah, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure helium is formed through radioactive activity. Like, it's constantly being formed. Like, how could we possibly assume that it's a finite resource?
Yeah. Almost all the helium in the universe. Well, how do I say this? I don't know about the quantities, actually, but there was a lot of helium created during the Big Bang, but the vast majority of the rest of it is created by stars, because stars do fusion, and helium's the first element they make. It does happen through radioactive decay as well, but those amounts would be like way, 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 way smaller than through nucleosynthesis.
So Fred Hoyle wasn't an atheist, but he wasn't a Christian. The point is that the amount of helium in the universe that we have now would require certain conditions, and those conditions would be the Big Bang.
Yeah, but we agree.
Yeah, I agree. Is real.
But we don't
believe that. So that just points to the universe beginning.
Wrong. The Big Bang is not the beginning of the universe.
Yeah, it's the beginning of. It's not. Well, no, because we can't say that before the universe didn't exist. I'm perfectly happy to say something to the effect of it's the beginning of the universe as we understand it, because the not necessarily the laws, but the structure, perhaps laws of a universe before the Big Bang would be different, because our laws of physics literally can't describe it. But it doesn't point to before the Big Bang, no universe, and then therefore it was created or anything like that.
Right. And I think the best explanation for this is in, like, so my field is like robotics and automation. And in robotics, there's a singularity that you find when you've got a multi-axis, a piece of hardware that's moving and you have to calculate its position in space. What you'll discover is sometimes you can't actually calculate its position because it requires you to divide by zero. And so you end up having to create a bunch of weird code to prevent your machine from ever having to divide by zero to avoid singularity.
Huh.
But that certainly doesn't mean, like, if your machine hits singularity, it certainly doesn't mean that, like, the thing that there's nothing preceding the singularity. Like, we know that there's a condition in which the math breaks down, but the math breaking down no way necessitates that something didn't exist. So, like, the singularity of the universe is where the math breaks down. We're saying we can no longer compute what we think was the case prior to this position. We're not saying that nothing existed prior to singularity.
So what was the next line of evidence, point of evidence? Low end, you're muted.
Yeah, he might not know he's muted. Low?
Sad trumpet noises.
You know what? I had to reformat my computer because of a BIOS issue a couple weeks ago, and I haven't reset up my soundboard yet. I really want to get a soundboard sent back up again. I just haven't get around to it. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, I guess while he's figuring out how to unmute himself, Voxus, thank you for the super chat, says, hi, Justin. What are your thoughts on Hosea 6, 1 through 2 being interpreted as a prophecy for the resurrection of Jesus? Well, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say Hosea chapter 6 has nothing to do with Jesus's time period whatsoever, because it's typically referring to the exilic time period. But it's a call to repentance. It says, come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who is torn, and he will heal us. He has struck down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live for him. Yeah, this is exactly what happened this was predicted during the Assyrian conquest. So Hosea was writing about the Assyrian conquest, where God said in not just Hosea, but also in the book of Amos, that he's going to strike down the Israelites. He said, there won't be anywhere for you to run. You'll go down to Sheol, but my hand will find you. You'll climb up to the heavens, but, you know, I'll be there. But then after you're struck down, you know, God will have mercy on you and he'll restore you. So I think if you just like read the context, it's pretty clear that it's not talking about a Messiah. But I know Christians want anything in the Bible that sounds vaguely familiar to Jesus to become a prophecy about Jesus and just ignore the actual context of what the author was really saying. So the guest dropped, Eric. I don't know what happened there, but...
Yeah, they entered the singularity, I think.
That's what happened, yeah.